Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. We all look forward to the day when science and religion shall walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. Science knows nothing of opinion but recognizes a government of law whose principles are universal. Revelation must keep faith with reason and religion with law, and science must justify faith in the invisible. Science and religion, or science and spirituality, often seen as rivals or in animosity with each other or contradictory, they are not. Both science and religion are paths to the truth, right? We're seeking truth. We do it through science, we do it through religion, we do it through spiritual living and practices. Both of these disciplines, or these, I'm going to say, avenues of inquiry, we hope that they lead us to truth. And they're both, the ability to do both of these things, to seek truth through science and to seek through truth through spiritual practices, they're both given to us by God, right? We're born with the ability to ask questions, inquire, investigate. That's science. We're born with the ability to just contemplate and be in the stillness and feel the presence. That's spirituality. So not only are these two not adversaries, they must be reconciled. They must be reconcilable, as Ernest Holmes was encouraging us. And they're more than reconcilable. I would say they're complementary. Because with only one avenue of inquiry, we only have a partial understanding. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in his sermon, A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart, which as an aside is probably one of the best sermons ever written. I encourage you to look it up. A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart. Dr. King says, there may be a conflict between soft-minded religionist and tough-minded scientist, but not between science and religion. Their respective worlds are different, and their methods are dissimilar. Science investigates, religion interprets. Science gives man knowledge, which is power. Religion gives man wisdom, which is control. Science deals mainly with facts. Religion deals mainly with values. The two are not rivals. They are complementary. And in these days, more and more scientists are researching, investigating at that intersection of science and religion, exploring how religious or spiritual beliefs and spiritual practices affect our lives, our brains, our mental health, our physical health, our relationships. In fact, our magazine, the Science of Mind magazine, which there's a few in the back, has a dedicated column to this. Spirituality in the Brain, written by two neuroscience researchers. We have, in our teaching, embraced from the beginning the idea that science and religion are not only not rivals, but we need them both, and we need to embrace both of them. which is why today we're starting a three-part series, Science and Spiritual Living. We are a center for spiritual living. We teach and practice spiritual practices such as gratitude, forgiveness, mindfulness, prayer. So those are going to be the focus of this three-part series. Today is gratitude, next week forgiveness, and the week after that, mindfulness and prayer. And we'll be looking at these spiritual practices from both the spiritual perspective and the scientific perspective. And me and several of our practitioners have developed workshops to go with these. Starting today, after this service, a workshop that looks at gratitude and how to go deeper with it and build gratitude into a daily practice. So that's today after the service, tomorrow night on Zoom. All of this is on our website. It's also in your program. Next week will be a workshop for forgiveness, and the week after that, mindfulness and prayer. So please look at that information and register online. If you want to stay after the service today, you can. For the Zoom workshop, it helps us a great deal if you register online. But we start today with gratitude. And I want to take a slightly different approach to gratitude than we normally hear as a Center for Spiritual Living. Gratitude as worship. Worship is not a word we use a whole lot around here. And that may be because it invokes this idea of worshiping some deity that's out there somewhere, and we better pay homage to it, or who knows what's going to happen. That's not the kind of worship I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of worship that is deep, profound respect and honoring of whatever it is, that power that brought about this incredible universe. Worship as profound gratitude. Worship not because God needs us to worship it, not because we're afraid of what might happen, but gratitude for the ultimate source of everything, just because. Because our gratitude is so big, we need an outlet for it. Because we're in awe of this magnificent life. That's the kind of gratitude that is worship. Now, it's easy to have gratitude for those things that come to mind right away, right? Like family and friends, good health, financial well-being. Those are the easy ones. But what about gratitude for the things we kind of take for granted? Like the life-giving elements of earth, wind, fire, and water. What about gratitude for our ability to love and be loved? What about gratitude for our freedoms? Freedom to choose our lives, freedom to choose how we show up in a situation, freedom to begin again because it's never too late. What about our resiliency, our perseverance? What about gratitude for all the teachers we've ever had, even the ones that irritated us? What about gratitude for all of the ancestors, like we did today? The ancestors we're related to and the ancestors we're not even related to, but they somehow had a part in bringing us to this moment so we could have this life in this moment. That's the kind of gratitude I'm talking about that is worship. The kind of gratitude that's just for the sake of gratitude. The kind of gratitude that has no agenda. The kind of gratitude that just says, wow, God, this is pretty awesome. Thank you. That's the kind of gratitude that the spiritual sages and mystics have been encouraging us to cultivate throughout the ages. This is the kind of gratitude and the kind of worship that's been taught in all the faith traditions. Why? Because this is the kind of gratitude that brings deep inner peace and joy in living. It's also the kind of gratitude that reminds us of our oneness with that divine source. Years ago, there were two students sitting under a banyan tree with their guru. And one of them asked, "Teacher, how long will it take for me to reach enlightenment?" And the teacher said, "Well, enlightenment can't really be predicted, but since you asked, it will take 20 more years. Well, the student cries out, like, "No way, I don't know if I can wait 20 more lifetimes." And then the second student, he's also curious, "Teacher, how long is it going to take me to reach liberation?" This time the teacher says, "It will take as many lives as this tree has leaves." That student jumps up in great joy, starts dancing. He's filled with gratitude. He's overwhelmed with gratitude because he's just been assured that he will someday reach enlightenment. And in that moment of great gratitude and joy, he overcame his limited human mind, and in that moment, he was liberated. It was his gratitude that liberated him into a remembering that he is already one with the divine and he didn't need to wait. That's what gratitude can do for us. Gratitude also reminds us how we're connected to everyone, not just the divine. That all of creation, all of life is a unity. That we are so interconnected and intertwined that we cannot survive without each other. Like literally, we could not survive without each other. Now think of just one thing you're grateful for today. It could be something small. Now think about all the people who had some part to play in you having that. It might be as simple as your morning coffee. I know that's the great joy that I start every day with. And when I think about all the people who were involved in bringing me that coffee, all the employees at the store where I bought it, the store owners, the banks who lend the store money, all the transport companies, foreign and domestic, and all their employees, the coffee farmers and their employees, the coffee buyers, the coffee roasters. And that's just some of the people. What about the plant itself? What about the earth, wind, and fire, and water that made the plant grow? What about the pollinators? And this is just a cup of coffee. Right? I mean, think about the big things in life. I mean, we're talking, that probably required the entire web of existence. As Catherine loves to tell us every time, or remind us every time she's on this platform, you are a star wrapped in skin. We can't even exist without the stars. That's how connected we are to everything. It's all one unity of life and living. Gratitude also keeps us in a consciousness, or keeps us in an awareness of the flow that is the divine givingness. The universe gives of itself. We receive, we use whatever it is we receive in a good way, and then we give it back. We put it back in the flow. A constant cycle of giving and receiving. Gratitude helps us be in this consciousness. As Eric Butterworth wrote, "Giving thanks is an important state of your consciousness that keeps you in an awareness of oneness with divine flow." And it's important to have this gratitude even when we think that what we have is just a little bit. In fact, it might be even more important to have gratitude. Because even that little bit of whatever it is that we're hoping to have more of in our life, that little bit is evidence that the universe is at work in our lives, and there's more where this came from. This is evidence of good. Edwin Gaines used to say, she's a great teacher of prosperity of all sorts. She started out with just a few dollars, and she started giving gratitude. She said, I'm grateful for these few dollars. I mean, she was down to her last dime at one point. I'm grateful for this dime because it's currency. It's evidence that there's universe, there's God at work in my life. And that gratitude builds that awareness that we are always in the flow. Gratitude in advance of receiving our good, that's maybe even better. Because gratitude in advance of receiving our good helps us build the receptivity for it. Gratitude in advance of receiving the thing that we want or desire or intend to have in life helps us build up a mental equivalent. It helps our body know. It's like embodied belief. Around here, we teach affirmative prayer. It has five steps that go like this. Step one, recognize the one divine life. Step two, remember that we are one with it. Step three, declare and name and accept our good. Step four, give thanks for that good as already completed right here, right now. Step five, release, let it go, and let God. Why do we give thanks in advance in step four? Well, because we have faith and we know, and because that gratitude, when we really spend time in that gratitude and feel that thing as already done right here, right now, we are telling our minds, we are telling our consciousness, this is done. It becomes embodied, and we become more open to receive. Neil Donald Walsh put it this way, gratitude in advance is the most creative force in the universe. Because it affects our consciousness and we're open to receive. So this is gratitude from the spiritual perspective. Whole books have been written about it. You can find them, but that's in a nutshell gratitude from the spiritual perspective. But what does science have to say about gratitude? Well, across the disciplines, the consensus is, no doubt about it, having a regular gratitude practice is good for your physical, emotional, and mental health and well-being. Basically, it's good for everything about your life. And the more we practice gratitude, the more we make it a daily practice, not just a moment here and there when something really wonderful happens, but the more it becomes a daily practice. In other words, when gratitude is part of our spiritual living, the better the benefits to our emotional, physical, and mental health. So our physical health, the benefits include improved heart health, less stress, lower blood pressure, lower levels of cellular inflammation, better sleep, and less fatigue, which is, by the way, why so many people recommend you have a gratitude journal and you write in it right before you go to bed. Right? And then for our emotional, social, mental health and well-being, get ready, the list is very long. What scientists are telling us are the many benefits of gratitude. Less depression, less anxiety, increased happiness and positive mood, more satisfaction with life, less materialism, less likely to experience burnout, development of patience, humility, and wisdom, increased pro-social behavior, stronger relationships, improved productivity and effectiveness in our work, and greater resiliency. Well, just about everything you would want in your life, right? You just got to be grateful. Eli Sharabi is one of the Israeli hostages held by Hamas. He was held for 491 days with a few other young men. He was released earlier this year, and he's written a book about his experience entitled Hostage. And in that book, he explains what he taught these young men that he was held with. He said, look, if we're going to, first of all, stay alive and do it while remaining sane, we cannot wake up every morning and just be angry. We must wake up every morning and have a routine and say a prayer. And then at night, every night, each one of us is going to say one thing good from that day. Now, at first, these young men, they thought Eli was already insane because of the conditions they were in, held in dark tunnels, nearly starved to death, allowed to bathe once every 2 or 3 months. They knew many of their loved ones had been taken from them. They knew they could be harmed physically at any moment. And yet Eli is telling them, nope, I don't care. Every night, we're going to name one thing we're grateful for. And it didn't take long before these young men go, oh, okay, this is good. We're doing this. And every Friday evening, the Sabbath, one of those men would hold a cup of water and recite their traditional Sabbath blessing that is said over wine. This gratitude, these blessings worked. In a recent interview, Eli said, "You understand that every moment they can kill you if they decide to do that. So you're trying to find the light and the special moments. Surviving is building from lots of small victories." Spiritual teachers have been preaching to us throughout the ages of the benefits of gratitude. How it can connect us with the divine, connect us with each other, let us have happier, more satisfying lives, and at times, even necessary for our survival. So make gratitude part of your daily life. Develop a gratitude practice. Practice spiritual living. Have a gratitude journal that you write in every night. Go sit on the beach and give thanks for that vast ocean. Or look up at the night sky on a clear night, because we're in Portland. Look up at the night sky and just whisper, "Wow, God, that's pretty cool. Thank you. It is enough. It is enough." Be grateful. I invite our practitioner prayer partners to stand with me and hold this prayer of gratitude in their consciousness. God is, and I am grateful. Life is, spirit is. It is the only thing that is now, ever has been, or ever will be, and I am grateful. It is this one life that saw fit to bring forth all of creation and to bring it forth from itself, such that all of creation is imbued with those divine qualities of beauty and peace and abundance and justice and love and harmony and light and joy. And we are grateful. I say a word of gratitude for our ancestors, those we are related to and those we never knew, but we know they had something to do with bringing us to this moment. All our ancestors of all walks of life, of all faith traditions, peoples around the world, thank you. Ancestors. I give thanks. I give thanks for that inner peace that comes with knowing our oneness. And thank you, One Life, for creating so many people and things in this earth. And that sun so far away, and that air that is the breath of every single human being, thank you for our unity. And the richness of life that comes with that. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Spirit. And this is the way it is. This is the way it was meant to be. This is the way it will always be. And I give thanks for that. And I let it go and let it be because it simply is. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.